If you're wondering why it's hard to get AAA companies to talk on podcasts, just how that asked how that went for one former Nintendo employee. Plus, Mario Maker will drip feed you content unless you're smart. Tonight is August 16th, 2015, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
Well, now I don't even need to talk about that second story. Like, AtDef just blurted it out. He did put the word spoilers in the beginning. But, like, I don't even need... That's, like, half my show gone because of Chad. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a half-spoiled edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live and want to be spoiled on the content of tonight's episode here at the Voice of Geeks Network, welcome. Head on over and to our chat room. It's at live.vognetwork.com, and you can be spoiled. And I will be trying to read intelligent comments that don't spoil the show. Non-spoiling content, I'll be trying to read it on the air all throughout the night. And if you're also on the site, you can check in just like Master of the Claw and Tiger Claw. Why not? We'll do two claws. Master of the Claw and Tiger Claw, they checked in some point during the intro of the show. You can check in, get some points on the August leaderboard, and try to beat Tiger Claw and Obi-Wan Jabroni. It's actually kind of cute. It wasn't this past episode, but Obi-Wan Jabroni and Tiger Claw are at the top of the leaderboards, and they both know that when you reply to someone, that other person gets a point, and they were talking to each other without replying to each other, so they didn't give each other any points. It was really cute to watch. If you want to check in, you can get some points and try to get on the leaderboard. All you got to do is listening for a passphrase somewhere in the episode. If you are listening on the podcast feed, it'll interrupt somewhere rudely tonight during the show. You can put that in and get the exact same amount of points. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word. You can call toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. Now there's even more spoilers about the rest of the show. Why should people even – is there something else on TV that people would – I mean, I know it's like NFL preseason. Is there a preseason game? Is that why nobody wants to listen? And, yeah. Dark Titsy says, Master of the Claw versus Tiger Claw. This sounds like an awesome kung fu movie. It does. It does. So I want to mention this kind of at the top. If you are going to be at Dragon Con, you can actually meet up with myself and Rob and some of the other VOG personalities. I believe some people from – I know some people from Critical Myth are going to be there. I believe Brian from British Invader is going to be there. So you can actually meet up with us some point. We are not as heavily involved officially with Dragon Con as we were last year. Last year we had five panels that had VOG representation in the podcasting track alone. I believe Critical Myth and British Invaders are doing some stuff on some other tracks. But I do want to mention when we – the gaming people – of VOG are going to be on panels. There's only two of them. So you have two shots to see us, but that also means that we're more available to just hang out and play Exploding Kittens or something like that. So if you want to catch Rob, he actually has the better time slot out of the two of us. Rob Roberts of Orange Lounge Radio, he's going to be on a panel Sunday at 1 p.m. This is going to be in the Hilton 203, which is the podcasting track. He is going to be on the Podcasting Past, Present, and Future panel, where new and veteran podcasters on talk about podcasting's origins, what's going on today, and what changes mean for the future. I was on this panel last year, so they've swapped me out for Rob so they could get some different information out there. So he's going to be there with Audrey Kearns, Charles McFall, JJ Valentine, Bill Duran, and Ellie Collins. And then if you are still around, and if you have already checked out of your hotel room or whatever, and you're up on Monday at 10 a.m. I know this is there's like a lot of big ifs in that statement. If you're up Monday at 10 a.m. in that same room, you can see me in a panel called Community is Everything, How to Build, Maintain, and Love Your Audience. Where cultivating an audience equals podcasting success. We tell you how to do it because obviously I can cultivate a community that spoils my own show. Yes. So I am going to be on that with Dr. Pamela Gay, Mike Faber, and Charles McFall. Charles McFall is on both panels here. So if you're not going to Dragon Con yet, but have the means to do so, I know like some people in our chat room don't have the means to do so. Unlike PAX Prime, which is going on the exact same weekend, registration tickets are still available. You can still get into Dragon Con. It's not like PAX Prime where it's sold out in 5 minutes. No. Dragon Con is not sold out. You can still go. Come see us. And if you're going to be at Dragon Con and you're not going to be there Monday morning, which I am totally fine with, and you still want to meet up, let us know on Twitter. We'll post some stuff about having a meetup because we want to meet up with people and we'll go have dinner some night and go down and drink. I spent a lot of time down in the board game room downstairs. Where they have like the old BattleTech Center, the Mech Corps is there with all the BattleTech pods from the Dave and Buster's in the 90s, all refurbished and everything. We can play some stuff down there and hang out. It's a great time. So I'm looking forward to it. That is Labor Day weekend. It's in a couple weeks. Wanted to go ahead and get that out. Sky says we need to make some reservations at that restaurant in the basement we couldn't get in last year. That's a very good idea. I will look into that and try to get reservations. Because that would be cool. So one of the things that we do is we read comments from previous episodes. And as I mentioned before, Obi-Wan Jabroni usually writes in there and doesn't reply to anybody. So nobody else can get any points because he's smart like that. Obi-Wan Jabroni wrote in because last week he teased. He was a tease. And he said, I bring forth some bad news. I won't be able to call in this morning. Which is tonight, technically, but the show airs for him at 1 a.m. If you recall last week, I recalled called to talk about McDonald's in the UK doing Mario-themed toys with their Happy Meals. Unfortunately, I didn't get the toy I wanted because McDonald's are deciding to drip feed them to the kids and to have a new toy each week. So until I get the toy I want, that's when I'm going to call in. Some good news, though, you won't actually have to buy a Happy Meal and experience the nutritional food in it for a mere 99 pence, which is whatever they use for cents. Over there. You can buy the toy by itself. In all light of all this, I'm keeping the listeners on edge because they don't know which toy I'm getting. It's great. So you may still hear from him, though. I have a hunch we may still hear from him somehow. So anyway, let's get into the news and stuff. And it's actually, this is like a big Nintendo-themed show. Like, everything I pulled is Nintendo-themed. And it's not on purpose. It's just the stuff that I really wanted to talk about. It was Nintendo theme that happened this week, and this one is one of the things that kind of explains why we talk to developers that are at MomoCon and stuff, and not necessarily at E3. And it's because of policies at larger companies. They are scared of having an unfiltered discussion. Let's put it that way, in a medium like this. It's got to be very controlled, and it's not just Nintendo. It's all AAA titles, which is why, you know, when you do find somebody, and this is why, you know, we don't cover E3 anymore for the time being. I'm not saying we're never going back to E3 or anything, because I'd love to go back at some point. But the reason we didn't cover E3 this year is because of everything is so filtered, and if we do get to talk to somebody at a large company, we will be told the exact same thing everybody else has been told, and that's a waste of our time, that's a waste of your time, it's a waste of their time. I don't like wasting people's time. Unless you consider listening to the show a waste of time, and then I am happily willing to waste an hour of your time, because I have that much ego, I guess. But one of the other things to realize is that when you work for a big company, you usually agree to, you know, not really talk to the press. I actually have the same kind of thing. I work in software development. I do not work in video games. They know I do the podcast and everything. But I could not go on a podcast about the type of things that I do in my day job without running it through the company that I work for. And then I would have to kind of go over what my talking points are, what I should say, what I shouldn't say. And so it would be filtered if I wanted to actually talk about what I do in my day job on another podcast. So that exists everywhere. So that is not just endemic in here, but this is one person who didn't take that seriously. And unfortunately, he worked at Nintendo. Kotaku reports that last week, Nintendo localization editor Chris Pranger made an appearance on a small podcast called Part-Time Gamers. This week, Nintendo fired him. So I don't know exactly like how he got on there, but he might have been a friend of somebody, because I have friends that work in the game industry, and they will not come talk to me on the podcast. I do have one friend who used to work in the game industry, and he was chomping at the bit to come talk on the podcast, and then that kind of died because it was probably not a good idea for him. But Chris Pranger wrote in a heartbreaking public Facebook message, quote, "Hello, friends and family. As many of you have probably seen, I am no longer at Nintendo. I was terminated this week due to a podcast appearance I made last Monday. It was a stupid judgment call on my part and ultimately cost me far more than I could have imagined," unquote. So on August 3rd, the Part-Time Gamers podcast posted their interview with Pranger, who spoke candidly about his work in Nintendo's secretive Treehouse, where the company translates and localizes software from Japanese to English and other languages. In the following days, a number of Nintendo fan sites and other message boards picked up on the interview, posting a whole lot of excerpts they found interesting. Go Nintendo, for example, reported on Pranger defending the Wii U's name and talking about how passionate Smash Bros. Designer Masahiro Sakurai can be. Although the podcast didn't draw a ton of mainstream attention, it got more than the show you're listening to now, fans found it fascinating because it had become so rare to hear Nintendo employees speak about the company without specific PR approval. Nintendo, like most Japanese video game companies, tend to prohibit its staff from speaking to the public about its inner workings unless they are given explicit approval from their communications team both in the U.S. and Japan. One thing you got to remember is that a couple years ago, the guy who ran the indie game outreach for Nintendo was prohibited from talking to the media. This is the face of your indie game development reach out thingy. And he was not allowed to post on Twitter. He was not allowed to be, you know, anywhere where the media could talk to him. And eventually he quit, saying, "I couldn't work under those conditions. It was I couldn't reach out to the community because Nintendo did not allow me to be in the community." So this is not surprising when I heard that. As according to continuing on with the Kotaku article here, as it turns out, even a handful of seemingly innocuous comments can lead Nintendo to fire an employee. Quote, "I spent the last week on a miserable place once the podcast began getting coverage. I was instantly scared when a coworker poked me and said, 'Hey, you're on Go Nintendo.' Suddenly, article after article began appearing in game sites of all languages. Comment sections painted me as an idiot and the like. My Twitter started giving me hourly reminders from people meaning well and otherwise. It seemed unthinkable that I'd be let go for a single moment of poor judgment and my own misunderstandings, but here we are," unquote. Last Thursday, a NeoGAF poster transcribed one particular section of Pranger's podcast comments that angered a few fans. He had poked fun at people who say, "Why do you hate the money Nintendo?" while asking the company to localize niche games, pointing out that games like Xenoblade don't often sell enough to justify expensive voice acting and other production costs. Quote, "We got it into the States by luck that Nintendo of Europe decided, oh, we'll take the fall and localize that. Okay, because someone is going to have to eat the cost somewhere, and because that game is guaranteed to not sell enough to justify how big the game is," unquote. He's totally accurate in that statement, but people who don't understand how things work get upset about that. And that angered them. And he became public enemy number one. Kind of like how Adam Orth, from Microsoft, who used to be at Microsoft, angered people by saying things that he believed. And they took it out on Nintendo. They said, or not Nintendo, they took it out on Microsoft. "I'll never buy a Microsoft product again because he worked there." Then they got rid of him. They're like, well, they hired him in the first place, so they have poor judgment in who they hire, so I'm never going to buy stuff from them. You know, and so that's the mentality of some of the consumers out there. And so companies like Nintendo are going to walk on eggshells to not piss off those people. It's not clear exactly which parts of the podcast led Nintendo to fire Pranger, and Pranger declined to comment when reached out, but he didn't talk about any unannounced games or any other information that might be considered a trade secret to an outside observer. Nintendo did have a comment saying, quote, "We have no comment on this topic other than to wish Chris the best in his future endeavors," unquote. I know some a segment of my audience will appreciate this, that Nintendo future endeavored Chris Prager. This article, what they're saying is we don't know which part angered Nintendo. I will tell you which part angered Nintendo. The fact it happened at all. Period. It doesn't matter if he said nothing. There are actually like other companies that they're not. You're not even allowed to say you work for them. EA was like that for a time, where if you worked at EA, you couldn't even tell people you worked at EA. You could not tell them what you did. And you know, there would be times that, you know, if you know you maybe you had a friend that you trusted and you said, yeah, I'm working on such and such game. Oh, well, that wasn't announced. And then that friend maybe is a good person, but he tells somebody else who has a blog. And that person blogs about it. And suddenly, that news is out there. So companies are very, very secretive, especially, you know, because the wrong thing gets out and everybody hates the company. Tarklaw says, I bet the reason he got fired was he probably violated an NDA that Nintendo employees signed that prevents them from talking to the press. There probably was something in his contract. The employment contracts are pretty lengthy, but that's probably in there. And ActDev does say he did admit to screwing up. Yeah, he absolutely admits, and he's taken his lumps, and he's going to try to move forward in life. He may not work in the video game industry again because he may. He may have learned from this lesson, and so he may actually be very tight-lipped in the future. He may be a very wonderful employee for another video game company to bring in as a localization person because he's learned his lesson. Don't talk to podcasts. If I were a hiring, like reading what he wrote on Facebook and stuff, I would, and if I was a hiring manager and was looking for a localizer and I worked in video games, I would bring him in for an interview. And then I would probably ask him more about the situation and stuff. But I wouldn't write him off. So I think he's got a shot at getting back in the video game industry doing localization. I think he said all the right things since the podcast. And really, he said the right things during the podcast. The problem was he did it at all. That was the problem. He didn't break any trade secrets. It wasn't anything anybody didn't know already. It was the fact that he did it at all. So, you know, I hope he lands on, I think he will land on his feet. He may even land on his feet in the video game industry and get a second chance. I think that would be great. Daniel Buster says he wasn't completely wrong in what he said about, like, Xenoblade. But at the same time, Nintendo doesn't want to imply not all of our fans are that important. And Tiger does say this goes for all game, or all, well, he says for all gaming companies. I would say this goes for all companies. I'm kind of under the same restriction at my company, and we don't touch anything games. We don't even gamification anything. We don't gamify anything. There's no game element of what we do. Dr. Close says, if you work for the company, you should talk to the higher-ups before being on a podcast and discuss what you can and can't say. Exactly. There's a reason I haven't told you exactly what I do on this podcast, because I've already had that conversation with my higher-ups. Dark Soccer says, this is why I don't tell a single soul where the hell I work. Well, I tell a few souls, but they're sworn to secrecy. And no one knows what I do there, which is the way it should be done. I at least tell you kind of what I do. Seal says, Bobby works with the government. If he tells us what he does, he'd have to kill us. Actually, I don't. I used to. I will say this, guys. I used to work on defense contracts. I actually had military clearance. I worked, and I'm allowed to say this, I worked on the Comanche helicopter back when the U.S. was going to buy them. Then the U.S. government decided they weren't going to buy them, so the project got scrapped, which actually gave me more work because then I had to write more software to help, shutter the project. But I also worked on the USS George H.W. Bush. It's a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. I think that's what they designated it as. It's the CVN-77. That's what it was called when we were there, and you can probably, I think you can Wikipedia and see it. I worked on that thing for several years. That was like being built for like 15 years. And I was there for like the first like 2 or 3 years doing database work. But I don't do that's like two jobs ago. So I'm not giving away anything, especially because the Comanche helicopter I don't think exists anymore. So, yeah. So if you're wondering like why my pod like, you know, people say, why don't you interview the developer from Skyrim? Why, you know, from Bethesda? Why don't you interview somebody from Oculus? This is why, even though. I have a friend, somebody that I knew in high school. I was friends with during high school. We didn't go to the same high school, but I knew him during that time. He's an engineer at Oculus. I would never get him to be able to get him to talk to me on this podcast. I can't even get him to talk to me about Oculus stuff now because he knows what I do. Even though we're friends and he knows that I'm pretty good at keeping my mouth shut, he's not going to take that chance. He's not one of the people that talks to the press. And everybody's like, why don't you interview me? That's why you call in. See, you can call in during the second half of the show and I'll interview you. You could tell me that you want to be interviewed and I'll interview you if nobody else wants to call in. Do that. Interview you about what games you play. Fifth Dream actually had a good job in the game industry. I don't think he'd be allowed to tell me much about what he did. So yeah, so that's why we talk to the indie guys a lot, because they are more open. They're not beholden to a higher power that censors their speech or anything like that. And that's why it's actually a big deal when you can get somebody from a AAA company to talk on a podcast, but then you may get the exact same thing. There are indie podcasts, very large indie podcasts, that regularly get people like Aaron Greenberg on and stuff, but he's the one who makes the decisions of what can and can't be said, and he's been doing it for many years. So it's very hard for them to trap him, but somebody who works in localization and goes and does a friend's podcast and talks about work, he may, even though I don't think Chris Prager spilled anything, I don't think they're upset at the content. They're upset that it happened at all. And that's why we don't get large main, developers of large companies to talk to us. And we never will, because it's too dangerous. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase CORD. So the other thing I wanted, and this is the story that got spoiled. Thank you, ActDeft. He spoiled this in chat because I found this kind of interesting, because Mario Maker's coming out, and it's actually looking really neat when I see like more videos about it, and I actually am very excited about it. It'll be a game that I'll buy when it comes out, which usually I wait a little bit now just because I'm, in that's kind of how I'm dealing with my finances right now, which is I'm doing really well at it. So it's a good thing. But Destructoid reports that in addition to be able to place objects, level builders can also stick sounds and visual effects into the courses set to different triggers. Sounds like Little Big Planet. And so we can maybe write songs in Mario Maker and have like an infinite Mario Maker, all that stuff. The video shows there's a new video and it shows off the rudimentary music composition capability built in the music blocks. And it goes on to demonstrate a composition pulled straight from the Super Nintendo title Mario Paint. So that's kind of cool. But in that video, they also talk about this thing that has angered a lot of people. And I'm like, I don't know why. Why? Instead of introducing everything all at once, Super Mario Maker is set to slowly add new tools to play over the course of several days of play. You won't be able to recreate everything you have seen right away, but it should keep it from being overwhelming. That's according to the Destructoid writer. So basically, the way it works is when you first get the game, you get the first set of tools. And if you use Mario Maker for, I can't remember if it's 5 minutes or 15 minutes. I think it's 5 minutes. Once you use it for 5 minutes, it says, okay, tomorrow you'll get the next set of tools. And then the next day you get the next set of tools. And then you have to spend that time period doing stuff. And then it'll say, okay, on day three, you'll get the next set of tools. And it does this for 7 days. And everybody's upset about this. And I'm like sitting here going, guys, did Animal Crossing teach us nothing? Because why is, I mean, okay, so you're going to have to spend some time doing what I'm about to explain to you. But here's the thing. The Wii U, it's not an inherently online console. When you sign into Xbox Live on either the Xbox 360 or Xbox One, the first thing it does is it goes to a date time server that's run off some atomic clock, and it gets the current date and time, and then it sets your system to that date and time. The PlayStation 4, when you go on a PlayStation Network, it doesn't do that automatically, but it has the ability to do that, to go to an atomic clock server, and you can set the date and time, so you have the current date and time. The Wii U, I know this because every time I unplug my Wii U, the system clock goes, I think the clock battery, if there's a clock battery in there, it died. My Wii U got struck by lightning like everything else, and they refurbished it and sent it back. But maybe the clock battery is still bad in it. I don't know. But it's no big deal because I just go in and I manually set the date and time on my Wii U every time that I unplug and replug it back in. And there's no option to automatically set the date and time from the internet. It doesn't have that ability. So Nintendo's not going to know if when you get Mario Maker, and if you want to, you know, have it be okay, you know, and work eventually on the correct date and time, before you put Mario Maker in, you go into the Wii U system settings and you actually set the date back 7 days. Okay, then you go into the game. It's like, oh, you know, here's the game, and boom, here's these blocks and stuff. Oh, tomorrow you'll get a next set of blocks. Okay, quit the game, go into settings, advance the day once. Oh, welcome back. We're glad you came back. Here's the second set of blocks. Okay, so you're going to probably spend, I mean, if it's a 5-minute timer, I think, it's going to be 35 minutes in the game. And it'll probably take you 2 or 3 minutes to quote out of the game, go, you know, go change the time, go back into the game, get into, you know, all that stuff. So it'll take you about an hour to unlock the stuff. And okay, maybe that's a hassle and you'd rather have it. But I think what they're going for, which you may disagree with, is that they don't want everything to become overwhelming. You can't recreate level 1-1 of Super Mario Brothers on the first day because the star is in a later day and the Piranha Plant is in a different day. So you can't recreate the level on the first day, and a lot of people are going to be annoyed by that. But if you're smart, just do the Animal Crossing thing. I mean, I have never, ever, ever in my life played Animal Crossing on New Year's Eve. Ever. Yet I have seen the New Year's Eve celebration. Kaijudo says, if all the tools I need are on the disc, I'm fine with, but if it's a download thing, I don't like it. I think these are just, they're all the tools are on the disc. It's just it waits like a day. It doesn't want to overwhelm you. It doesn't give you everything on the first day. And he says, if you time travel in the game, Toad comes out and gives you a lecture. But if you do it right, it won't know. You got to realize the Wii U is not inherently online. It doesn't know what the current time actually is. It believes you on the current time. Maybe if they put, okay, so let's say people find out, oh, Super Mario Maker actually does go online and check the current time. Great. Turn off your Wi-Fi. Take your Wii U offline. And then do it. What are they going to do? And ActDev says it's unlock to unlock or play to unlock. Now, Little Big Planet kind of did this too. They didn't give you all the tools at once, but you had to play through the game to get the tools. So you couldn't recreate all the levels. And I mean, there's actually still like stickers and tools I probably don't have in Little Big Planet because I never got to that point in the story. I didn't finish Little Big Planet 1. I did finish Little Big Planet 2. So you know, they did it that way. So you had to still play through the story of Little Big Planet, whatever story they gave you. To be able to get all the tools. And that's how they kind of did it. Nintendo said, no, we're not going to do that to you. It's just going to be over time. You're going to learn how to use the tools we give you. And then we're going to give you another set, and you're going to learn those. And then you're going to get another set. And you're going to make, at the end of a week, you're going to be making great stuff because you're not overwhelmed. And some people want to be overwhelmed. And so all they got to do is time travel. Kaijuda says, I like the 7-day thing. It feels like Mario School. Dungeon Buster says, sorry, Wii U, but time no longer exists outside this room. That's right. Just tell it time no longer. No, this is the right time. Really, it is. So we're going to do something right now that I haven't done in like 3 months. We're going to take a quick music break. That's right. I'm actually going to play music in the middle of the live show. We're going to cut it out of the podcast. So you don't have to wait too long. We'll play a bumper. That we haven't played any bumpers in 3 months, so they're all new to you. And then we're going to come back and we're going to take calls, and you can call in and talk about anything. There was other stuff that went on that you may want to talk about this week, and that's great. You know, just because I didn't cover it in these two stories doesn't mean that it didn't happen. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, so it's your turn to give your voice, and I won't spoil whatever you call in to talk about. So we're going to take that quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
It's me, Mario. Not really. Obi-Wan Jabroni instead. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com. Sorry for the terrible impression, by the way, Charles Martinet. I tried.
Told you'd hear from him again. Even if he didn't call in. He actually sent a bumper. You can send a bumper. You do not have to be Obi-Wan Jabroni to send a bumper. I promise you. All you got to do is you can send an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. That's what he did. Or you can send a voicemail to the toll-free number. And before I go in, I want to talk, continuing on the Mario Maker thing, I just want to bring up this conversation. Kaijudo says, I like the seven-day thing. We already talked about that. But he hopes they don't attach Amiibo to it. And ActDev says, you can use Amiibo in the characters if it were Mario, or kind of like a Super Mushroom. And there's also a Super Mario Maker Amiibo, which actually look really cool. It makes Mario even bigger on the stage and can destroy everything, and also gives the enemies mustaches. Mustaches are being locked behind Amiibo. That suddenly kills all the hype I had for this game, because that is a travesty that mustaches, you have to buy an Amiibo to get a Goomba to wear a mustache. That is terrible. I am no longer looking forward to Mario Maker, because that just kills it for me. So we're going to take calls right now. So the phones, we are going to be opening up the phones. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. We already have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
ActDeft, mustaches behind Amiibo. Really? They're going to lock a mustache behind an Amiibo purchase?
Yeah, they're going to, and I don't really see the problem, but...
Sky says I can buy a horse mustache in Oblivion on Xbox 360 for $4.99. Yeah, but an Amiibo's $12.
$13.
Actually, $13.
Yeah.
So that's I'm no longer looking forward to Mario. It's the mustaches not being there. No,
I don't remember what more it adds to the game, but yeah, at least on the recent video, recent video that they released, yeah, that it makes Mario bigger on screen. It can destroy. It's pretty much you're kind of invincible, that you can get killed by enemies, but it makes the game a little bit easier. It's like,
and you're not gonna like be able to find this Amiibo.
It's like Blackwood Forever.
I know they're locking my mode behind an Amiibo purchase. You're not making this any better.
But at least you can only buy one. I don't know if the Mario one, the ones that already exist, mm-hmm. work the same, but I don't think so. But at least the Amiibo looks cool. It's 8-bit. It's like a voxel, and it has a pipe base.
Yeah.
So at least it will look great on whatever you whenever or whatever you put it.
Yeah. But still, like, that kills all the hype I had for this. Like, I could forgive the seven-day thing because I understood it, and, hey, there was a way around it. But...
Hey, at least you don't have to wait to unlock it, so yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to buy it, but...
So are you looking forward to this?
I am. I actually am. I wasn't sure when they first announced it if I really wanted this game because... I'm not really a creative type, but the game itself looks great, and it will have the challenges, and I'm all for that. So I look forward to playing what people create, and maybe I can make my own, but I'm mostly looking forward to playing the game.
Yeah.
Playing a new, basically a kind of new Mario, but
right.
not really.
And to be fair, that's what a lot of people did. Like, not everybody that played Little Big Planet made levels. They played other people's levels. And this
pretty
is kind
much.
Of going the same way. This is the same direction. And most of the time, people in Little Big Planet played Mario levels made in Little Big Planet.
Yeah. It's Gradius levels, Tetris levels.
Yes.
All of the other games, but in Little Big Planet. But
right. See, that's the thing. Like, Little Big Planet, at least they, you know, did enough things to allow you to make, like, a racing game. You could actually do a racing game in Little Big Planet. And it's going to be interesting to see... what other types of games somebody may be able to do in, you know, with Mario Maker. If there's something, you know, I don't know what the scripting's going to be like, you know, what all you unlock on day 7 to be able to do things. You know, I wonder, can somebody make a Tetris game in Mario Maker? That's kind of the hacking that I kind of want to see go on. You know, kind of like, you know, how people use Minecraft to make Mario and stuff using, you know, all the blocks in there. So that's going to be the most interesting thing. Because I hope it's not just a Mario-style level that you can make.
People can get pretty creative, so I wouldn't at least say they won't try. Mm-hmm. Though speaking of that, I'm really looking forward to people creating music.
Yes.
With the music box. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know what's kind of funny is that, you know, the Mario Paint Music Maker took a life of its own when they, you know, released the PC version that, you know, allowed you to have more instruments and everything. And so everybody's making Mario Paint style songs. And it's going to be really interesting. And people would do that in Little Big Planet as well. And I had some of those levels. I tried, but it's really tedious to do. I tried.
Yeah, I can imagine. And even people have already done ROM hacks with just Mario with like an auto scroller and have made music out of it. So
yeah,
it's gonna be probably a little bit easier with Mario Maker. But yeah, again, I'm looking forward to probably not creating, but I'm looking forward to playing all of what people release and even the challenges Nintendo.
Yeah.
Has done for the game itself, so yeah.
Yeah, because I think they're having the ones that were at the Nintendo World Championships. Those challenges are in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, other than the fact that I can't put mustaches on anybody unless I buy an amiibo, I guess I'm still excited for the game. If I have
to. Or at least you can... if a friend of yours buys the amiibo, you can borrow it, at least. It's not unlocked.
I don't have any friends.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm the only one that actually buys amiibo out of anybody that I know. and even then, I don't buy that many. I bought an amiibo when it came out, and I got one for Christmas. And that was it. I held, the Pac-Man amiibo, and I'm like, should I? And I decided no.
You're stronger than I
know.
I have.
Yes. Now, Disney Disney Infinity figures, we're not going to talk about that.
Or Lego Dimensions.
Lego Dimensions is going to be... Yeah, that's going to be the one. I'm not ashamed of that. Because
I'm looking forward also to Lego Dimensions.
Yes.
I have already talked about that, but yeah. It's going to be great for NFC figures this holiday.
Yeah. That's kind of the big thing. Everybody's like, why would anybody want to use NFC? You know, because I remember the Wii U gamepad, they're like, it has an NFC reader in it. And we're like, why? Why would you need one? Well, now we know.
And people really want Pokemon Amiibo, and I'm like, they already exist. Nobody remembers Pokemon Rumble.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Well, at least with the Pokemon tournament, the Pokemon fighting game.
Yeah.
You know it's going to use Amiibo, so in some way or another.
Yeah. Yeah, Brad from Pod Culture says Amiibo are everywhere until I went looking for one. They're all around until you want one, and then you're like, oh, I can't get that one. So what else is on your mind, or was that what you were going to talk calling about?
Basically, just Super Mario Maker. And the people complaining about, oh my god, it takes 7 or 9 days to unlock everything. Haven't you people played old school games, at all?
Yeah.
I'm really baffled at people oh my god, but you have to take 9 days to unlock all the things. And I'm like, haven't you played any game ever?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take time for every game to unlock all the things.
But this is a very now society. We want it now. And I know some MMOs are doing this where they're like, okay, yeah, we just launched our new expansion, but we're not turning on that raid for 2 weeks. And everybody's like, oh, no, I'm paying for that raid. Where is it?
And it's and even with Nintendo, it's like in a Splatoon.
Mm-hmm.
The content, it's already there. The data isn't already in the game, but it's unlocked by time.
Mm-hmm.
At least when they they patch it or something and they add it. That's another thing. That would very well be a problem, since Nintendo has to unlock that. Not with this. You have to play it. Just do that.
Because you don't have to be online. Like, Splatoon was an online game. This is not necessarily an online game. So even if they do that check, okay, turn off your Wi-Fi. Then it can't do that check.
Yeah.
And they're not going to lock out the people who don't have internet at home from getting everything in Mario Maker. They're not going to do that. So,
like you said, people need to play Animal Crossing to understand this.
Or even like, really. The first time I time traveled in a game was not Animal Crossing. It was Seaman on the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had to wait 2 weeks or something like that for your little sperm whatever to turn into the adult that friends your butt. And I time traveled for that. I was like, I'm not waiting for that. Because like that was one of those games you could only play for like 10 or 15 minutes a day. So it's like, okay, 10 or 15 minutes next day. 10 minutes next day.
And it's not really like a difficult process to do.
No.
Change the time is just, okay, yeah. Go to menu. Mm-hmm. Settings, time, change it. Okay, exactly. Go back to game.
Yep.
That's it. So.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, I think that's going to be the only call we'll take tonight. And nobody else was trying to call in or anything. So we will save. If you want to call in, there's always next week. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we're going to interview them here because they're internet celebrities. Sacramento, you guys there?
We're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. So time travel. When was the first time you time traveled in a game?
When was the first time I time traveled in a game? I'm also thinking about Animal Crossing, honestly. Mm-hmm. I definitely had to time travel in Animal Crossing to do some of the holidays. Just like I think it was actually New Year's Eve, just like you.
Yeah. See, my first one was Seaman on the Dreamcast.
Let's play Doctor Who games.
Yeah, does that count if I play Chrono Trigger? Because that's time traveling.
That is time travel.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yes, it absolutely. And whenever we want to work Chrono Trigger in, I'm fine with that.
I know you feel strongly about that game. I'm trying to think, like, was there an Atari 2600 game that involved time travel? Surely there was. Surely in the box art.
I would say probably it would have to have been, and actually I think I just bought this game. It was... now I have to look my Steam library.
I do patch time travel for Dragon Age to make my mods work.
Yeah. I think like in terms of like just changing the system date, I think for me it was Seaman in that type of time travel. And then I did a lot in Animal Crossing on all the versions.
I feel like
but
I
you
did
couldn't go back in time in Seaman.
Right, I would go back in time with when I started.
All right, now remember, Raptor Call of the Shadows. Is because one of the things that they used to do with that studio is if you like would change it to like either April Fool's Day or like their birthday, they would have like the funny theme song for the Apogee logo.
That's right. Some of those old games did special things on holidays, and that was an incentive to change the system clock on PC. So that's right. I remember some of those. So
I think SimCopter had one that was very special. That was happened on a certain day. Then the guy got fired for it.
Wasn't that SimTower? I think it was SimTower.
No, it was SimCopter.
It was SimCopter because when you flew around in the copter, that's when everybody would show up on the rooftops.
Oh.
And I think that happened on a specific day.
They're just celebrating.
They are. So are you expecting to get any AAA developers to be interviewed on your podcast so you can get them fired?
No, I don't think there's anything scheduled like that. And, you know, that's why we stick to mostly indie developers. But, you know, we have had people on this show who have worked for larger game developers before.
We can do that. We can have people come on the show so we can fire them.
No. No. This show has a long history with music-based video games. And it's no secret that, Shane used to work at Konami back in the day. And we've had... plenty of former Konami employees that have talked about like what it was like back in the day. Now, granted, I don't think many of them work in the game industry anymore or have the desire to continue on there. So most of them have talked probably a little more openly than others would. But, you know, we've had a little bit of that here on the show. But I do recall one particular interview we had not a terribly long time ago, maybe a couple of years ago, with a friend of mine who did work for a larger studio. And, you know, we did talk a little bit. He did get the clearance from his people. He emailed the people at his company he had to make sure it was okay. They came up the show. And there were certain things that, you know, I knew not to ask about, certain controversies. And that's not a matter of like ethics or whatever. That's just a matter of, you know, being a grown up and the fact that you kind of realize that, you know, there's certain things the person's not going to be able to talk about. It's only going to get awkward if you push that issue. So you ask the questions you can ask. And I thought it was a great interview and there was a lot of stuff we learned from it. So. Yeah.
And I will also say, you know, the one interview that I've had recently in the past couple of years that, you know, we reference all the time when we talk about Easy Mode, that was cleared when I spoke with the Borderlands people and the person who said the word girlfriend mode to another outlet. Mm-hmm. And that was approved. And that was and he actually had with him the guy who was actually a friend of mine, who's still a friend of mine. We were guildmates and stuff, but he works at Gearbox as well. And he was kind of acting as the filter if it needed to be there. But we had a very good understanding before I started rolling, and I didn't cut anything out. There were obviously things I didn't bring up. But there was not, you know, so some companies are more open to it, but a Japanese company, you're not going to find them being there very open to it.
Right. And you were the first one to just ask about that whole issue. I remember, yeah. You know, we talked about that for a while, and that was something. So I think that goes to show that, you know, you can always ask, like, can I ask you about this? But if they say, you know, I'd rather not, then, you know, all right, then don't make it awkward by pushing the issue.
Right.
You know, they're going to talk about what they can talk about. But if nobody's bothered to ask them to clarify a statement and you're the first one to be like, so do you want to clarify? And, you know, yes, I've been waiting for somebody to ask me to do that. You know, so
yeah,
it can kind of go either way. And it's just about setting the boundaries. That's all. You know, do you think this doesn't happen in other, not you specifically, but your audience, doesn't happen in other places, like, you know, when Barbara Walters interviews people or so forth. But usually in those situations, and this is what a lot of us think that applies to the gaming world across the board, usually the situation is that those interviews are intended to be a no-holds-barred type of thing. Mm-hmm. And a person goes on to Diane Sawyer or whatever knowing it's going to be a no-holds-barred situation. So that's right. A little different.
You know, or you know, or there's an understanding and everybody kind of knows, like, you know, late-night talk shows don't, you know, they have, you know, either a script or they have, you know...
interview almost right. All the time. There's an intern or somebody that interviews a celebrity before the actual Conan O'Brien or whoever it is actually interviews them. And that's how suddenly these hosts know, so I heard you were doing this thing the other week, you know, and kind of opens the door for them to talk about that, is because it's all caught up in the pre-interview.
So I heard you murdered a hobo. I mean, we have people following you and stuff. Like, care to elaborate on that?
Or, you know, they agree not to talk about certain things, you know, like, and we'll use movies here. You know, the new Mission Impossible came out, and Tom Cruise obviously has to go promote the movie. He only went on shows that agreed not to use anything about Scientology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great example, and that's a big one for him, is that he will only do the interview if your people sign a waiver or whatever, that you will not bring up Scientology.
Except one of my heroes, who is no longer on – we outlasted him, but Jon Stewart – right before he left, did have Tom Cruise on. And you think, wow, Jon Stewart would agree to that. But it was hilarious right at the very end, because they were talking about, you know, how in the movie, like, you know, Tom Cruise does a lot of his own stunts and, you know, they're very dangerous, like hanging off the side of the plane. And Jon Stewart's like, what are you going to do next? Parachute into a volcano? And they just played off of it. And Tom Cruise just, like, didn't, you know, I'll rappel into a volcano, blah, blah, blah. Totally not getting it. That was a Scientology reference. So kudos to Jon Stewart. What are they going to do? Take him off the air?
Is that what are you going to do? Fire me?
It was his last 2 weeks.
Exactly. I can relate to that a lot lately. But anyway, we won't go
that's
there.
That's awesome.
So what are you guys going to be talking about tonight that's not Nintendo-based? Because all I talked about was Nintendo.
Well, maybe there's a few Nintendo things we want to talk about as well, you know, so who knows. But I think there is some Sony and Microsoft stuff, PlayStation Experience, that's going to be happening. They're moving it to San Francisco, so I could drive there in a day. So I'm actually excited at that potential. I'm a little less excited. It happens to be the week before GamerX or X, but I guess it's just the Bay Area. I'll manage. That'll make
you. Well, see, with me, it's like, oh, I could – oh, no, wait, I may be going the next week.
Yeah, so might not work out so well. Well, I'll tell you what, D23 was going on this weekend, and I know that's a lot about Disney, and can we talk about that Tron ride in Shanghai? Like, I didn't really have, like, you know, I think everybody wants to see the Great Wall of China once in their life, but it wasn't like, am I actually going to save the money to go to China? Now, with this Tron ride, I might have to do it, Bobby. Yeah. Oh, my God. But anyway, D23 is going on right now. So much news coming out of that. And, yes, there's actually gaming-related things as well, including, I'm sure a lot of you have seen the news today about that they did reveal one of the worlds for Kingdom Hearts is going to be brand new, and it's Big Six, Big Hero Six, which is kind of neat because that was not Pixar, but it was like a Pixar style.
No,
kind of
it's
movie.
Just their Disney animated studio.
But it's Marvel.
Well, just
also.
Like Wreck-It Ralph and
Frozen and all that. So I think it's a guarantee that Frozen's going to be in Kingdom Hearts 2 because it's just we're Frozen ad nauseum right now. I'm sorry, Kingdom Hearts 3. But anyway, because I was looking also that we were going to talk about tonight.
Let it go.
The Dark Soccer never bothered me anyway. On the PlayStation 4, we're going to talk about Phantasy Star Online 2 going to be coming to the PlayStation 4.
Probably
not here in the U.S., though.
I completely forgot up until this point, which I just corrected that. Goat Simulator on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 came out today.
Yes, it did. Or this week.
This week. Had to buy it.
I had to buy two games that came out on PlayStation 4 this week, and I beat one of them today. And we're going to talk a lot of it. Dark Soccer was here. She can actually witness Rob beat a video game. I know. That's newsworthy in itself. We're going to talk about which game and what I thought about it.
He took it out of the case and took a hammer to it.
Because it's definitely a thinking game. You guys will probably be able to figure it out from just that. But we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, see, you don't beat video games because you were two levels away from beating my video game and you quit.
Well, I had to, you know, weigh the time factor.
Listen, if you can't beat the demo.
That's right, Bobby, if I can't beat the demo.
Hate you guys.
Touché. Hey, I'll see you in a few weeks, Bobby.
Yes, we're on panels.
Just around the corner. Can't wait. Everybody, tune in online. Listen, and say hi in the chat and let them know you're listening out there, especially with that Monday 10 a.m. thing. Be in the chat and listen because that goes a long way.
Yes, it does. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
So that is it for me. I'll be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. So you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you're using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, where you can submit questions on my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. Show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But I would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Soccer, Dark Titsia, DC Nate, Hecht, Ronma, Sky, VHSNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, ActDeft, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Brad from Podculture, Burr, Seal, De Blue Guy, Dungeon Bluster, Eric K., Hitstun, Kaijudo, Kenzie, Kazan, Melted General, MXC, Orange Wright, Point, Raginator, Shadow Next Gen, Siren, Tekkaclaw, True, and William Murderface. So that's it for me. Nobody got fired in the making of this episode. That is a win. And nobody has mustaches either, because I haven't bought that amiibo yet. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.